Welcome to Sunny in Seattle with your host, Sunny Joy. And coming up on today's show, well, it's the first Friday of the month, and that means Sunny's going to be checking in with Dr. Alessandra Duke. And the two of them will be chatting about how to get things done while in low gear, as well as spotting the difference between self-care and self-sabotage. And now we welcome your hosts for the day, Sunny Joy McMillan and Dr. Alessandra Duke.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunny in Seattle. It is First Friday, so that means I'm one of your hosts, Sunny Joy, joined by
Dr. Alessandra Duke. Hello.
Yay. And I just have to say that after all these years, I still love the intro music. Avicii never gets old to me. So I'm glad that
it's good. It's good.
Yeah, so every Friday, Sunny in Seattle is here bringing you amazing guests and resources that will help you create a life filled with joy, peace, freedom, and purpose. It is radio that positively shines. And you can always get access to the show archives if you want to go back and listen or didn't catch the show live. Those are found at 1150kknw.com. You can also find out more about me and connect with me for coaching through my website, which is goldenoversoul.com. And Alessandra, I think you have a website as well. A couple, actually.
Yes. Yeah, people can go to my website, alessandraduke.com. And it's a good time to go there because I created a free downloadable guide. So if you go to my website, alessandraduke.com, you can download this new thing that I created. And I'm really, really proud.
What's a guide? What kind of a guide? What is it a guide to?
It's called it's five steps to live, like get out of your own way and live a life you feel awesome about. So it just takes people through five different steps of working through fear, figuring out what's going on with their thoughts, and then taking some action on what they're wanting to do, because this is what my clients are always asking me about. So I just created like a quickie guide so that you don't even have to work with me to get started. You can start doing things in your life right now. So it's just a really cool guide. I had a designer help me put it together, so I feel really proud of it. And if you go and you give me the, you know, you just enter your email address and download it, and it will automatically sign you up to my newsletter, my mailing list. But, you know, you don't even have to stay on my mailing list. You can unsubscribe. Just get the download.
I'm going there right now to check it out. AlessandraDuke.com.
And there should be a little pop-up that comes.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Come on, interwebs. Well, okay, here we go. Oh, and I see you.
Feel better.
Oh, nice. Okay. So check out the free offering.
I love that you're doing this live right now, people. If anyone doubted Sunny was a supportive, amazing friend, this is the evidence.
Actually, let's check in with Benny. Benny, what's going on with you?
Good morning, Vietnam! Oh my gosh.
Just a little bit of that.
Yeah. How are we?
Oh, how are you doing, Benny?
We're good. I'm awesome.
Any new developments that you want us to know about?
Not so much. The kids are first full week in their third grade year, so things are looking pretty good. We signed one of them up for soccer, too, so yeah, that's good. We're going to get a little guy to run around, burn all out of his energy, and then the other one can just sit there and watch.
Now, was that their choice? One of them said, I want to do soccer, and the other one said, I don't really want to do soccer.
After last year's baseball season, it turned out to be like, Dad, I don't want to play anymore. And then the other one's like, Dad, I still want to play. So it's like, you know, all right. So I got one in, one out. So I was like, well, you're not going to do nothing. you're going to do something. So
yes. And then remind us how old they are again, Benny.
Eight and a half. They'll be nine in January.
Oh, I love that age. That is an amazing age.
This is definitely full on molding age.
Yes. Yes. So be very careful, Benny.
No. It's a lump of clay. It's perfect.
Are you molding them into mini Bennies?
Yeah, they already are.
Of course.
Excellent.
Yes. Oh, so great.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Anything else? Do we have any questions for him, Alessandra?
Oh,
I didn't know
Benny
this time around. You know, we did like our questions for Benny series for a little while.
Yeah.
It's okay if you need to take a hiatus from that. That's totally fine by me.
Whatever. So awesome, Benny. We're just like, what's happening?
It's fine. It's all good.
Yeah. You have any updates in your love life? The listeners like that.
I had a little connection on Bumble for a minute, and then the little fishy kind of, you know, nibbled away, and then bye-bye. So it's all good. I'll throw the line back out there. It's all fine. I was using the wrong. Apparently, I was using the wrong bait. So whatever.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
I don't even know what you use for online bait these days.
But I can't tell you that.
What does one use?
My special formula.
Okay. Yeah. Keep us posted.
Well, thanks for the update, Benny.
Okay, I have to. Oh, it's marshmallows. It's just way it is.
You know. Chase is working out at Hog Island Oyster Company now, and he is an oyster farmer. If you didn't know those were it's a thing.
That's amazing.
I know. I just love it. He's so happy. We actually went out. We had some friends visiting over Labor Day weekend, special dear friends from Texas who came in. And so we did a field trip out to Hog Island, and we actually got to see Chase in action because they've got a couple of restaurants out there. And so we, you know, got the full experience, but it was so fun to see Chase in action. He could not be happier. But the whole reason I bring that up is because they have, if you haven't been out to Hog Island, of course, we're in Petaluma, California, but Hog Island is in Marshall. That's just 20 minutes, and it's right on this beautiful bay called Tomales Bay. And they have this, and it started as like just two dudes who wanted to farm oysters in this beautiful bay, and now it has grown into this huge company that is very focused on sustainability and treats their employees and the environment really well. It's just a really special place. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, they have this setup where if you come out to eat at their picnic place where you can barbecue oysters and have, you know, wine and a picnic and all the things, you can actually watch them bringing the oysters in and sorting them. So you get to see exactly what happens to what is on your plate.
Wow.
And yeah, and so people can come up and ask questions. And Chase, in his first week working there, of course, there are a lot of tourists who come from all over the place now, even internationally, to see this company. And a woman came up and was like, "So how do you catch the oysters?" And Chase was kind of like, didn't really know at this point how to respond to that. And one of the dudes who's working with him next to him just looked over at her and with a completely straight face said, "With peanut butter." And she was like, "Oh, okay."
Wow.
You don't catch oysters with peanut butter.
That is,
if you
a
know
lot.
His personality and his humor, I could totally see him pulling that off.
Yes, I mean, it really is. There are a couple of them that have they get along pretty well on their crew. But anyway, so Benny, maybe try peanut butter.
Go back to the natural aphrodisiac. You know, sounds like he's in the right area for maybe, you know,
so.
Barbecuing up for you two.
I know. It's so crazy. Most of the oysters in that they get little seed oysters. Now we're getting a little lesson on oysters. Little did you know that would happen on Sunny and Seattle.
Wow, Sunny. Thank you.
They used to they would bring in the little seed oysters, the little babies, from Puget Sound, which of course is where we moved from. Chase grew up in Seattle in Puget Sound, yet he had never had an oyster in his life until we moved here to California, which is not the oyster capital of the world. So
did he give it a little jar of peanut butter, just a little baby jar,
just to kind of coax it out? Jar. Yeah, exactly.
That's smart move.
But no, he's actually now they will just, you know, grab him while they're out on the bay and just pop an oyster and eat it. Although they do have a beautiful filtration system.
Right.
So while you can eat them straight out of the bay, they do cold water filtration to make sure they're nice and clean before they go onto your plate.
They are scrumptious.
They are loving this oyster lesson.
Okay. So that's your oyster lesson for today.
For the day. Hey, there you go.
Amazing.
Oh, okay. So anything else, Benny, before we let you go to do all the
I'm gonna be shucking and jiving this way. Hey.
Ending on a high note on that.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I'll be over here.
Thanks, Benny.
So, Alessandra, I know we have some things on the agenda for today, but you know what? I didn't even tell you this, but I thought this might be a good thing to start with, because we don't really do book reviews. I mean, we're doing oyster lessons. Why not do a book review? But I had recommended to Alessandra, for anyone out there, kind of my guilty pleasure on reading when I'm not you know, studying up for whoever's going to be on the show. I love memoirs. And one of the latest ones I've been reading that came out in April of this year is called Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. And it's about a therapist, her therapist, and all of the, I guess, awakening that ensued when a therapist went to therapy for the first time, really, for in-depth therapy for her own issues that was triggered by a breakup. So I recommended this book to Alessandra because, you know, given that she is a psychologist and a coach of sorts, you're kind of like the hybrid model.
Yes.
I thought you would enjoy this. And so I cannot recommend this book highly enough. But I wanted to actually ask Alessandra, you know, they talk a lot, I have to say, coming from a coaching background, and, you know, law, which is not really related to any of that, kind of. I mean, I guess they're called counselors.
Yeah, yes.
But
and they help people.
They do, yes, yes. Usually not in the best of times either. So, so I was in listening to this book and hearing this particular therapist, she went to med school first, and then she was a journalist, and then she went back to school to become a therapist to do psychology, not psychiatry, because I thought she would end up in psychiatry having gone to medical school. Anyway, so hearing her talk about therapy versus other forms of counseling, other forms of, and she doesn't really talk about coaching, mm-hmm. but it was a much different perspective. And I would just want to ask you, Alessandra,
yeah.
you know, what from your perspective, what's the difference between therapy and coaching?
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to kind of look at it. And one of the things that I hear people say a lot, is that, you know, therapy is all about spending time in your past and coaching is about moving you forward. And I think that's a little bit of a real simplified view because therapy is also about moving you forward, right? It's like there's that is in essence what you're trying to do with clients. And so I think it's like, you know, what I've seen in my own practice is, you know, therapy is really really aligning with the client and being in some ways, you know, what I like to call like sitting at the bottom of the well with mm-hmm. clients, right? Like we are in this together. I'm aligning with you. I'm aligning with your story, trying to understand how that feels for you, what that means for you, right? And kind of eventually moving out of that place. And there's so many different types of therapy. I mean, I think that unless you're in the field, don't really realize like there's so many different theories and fields of thought. But then I think with coaching, we're not necessarily aligning with everything that the client is saying and with their story and yeah. sitting in the like, what does that mean for you? Or, you know, where is that coming from? Right. So for me, it's, you know, when I'm in coaching mode, I'm really challenging most of what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, any kind of story, I'm like, of course the story feels important. It's your story. But my task is to really challenge that kind of thought. And, you know, and it is to, I know that a lot of coaches don't even really bother going into the past stuff. They are more, you know, focused on like, what's happening for you right now? And what do we need to shift in order for you to just kind of keep going? So I guess that's a very long answer to say, you know, that like the differences can be subtle. There's some overlap, but I think really what I think is like, coaching is really challenging all of these thoughts that clients are coming to you with and not necessarily being sitting at the bottom of the well, right? It is like being at the top of the well, pulling them back up, right? And not aligning with being at the bottom of the well. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I think because I just would take in my coaching tradition, of course, Martha Beck is the primary teacher that I have learned from in that regard. And the way that she described it, I remember when we were going through coach training, was that, you know, if you are ill, you go to a doctor. If you are well, but you want to go to high performance, you go to a personal trainer. In the same way, if you are not quite mentally there to baseline where you need to be, whether or not that is some type of a psychiatric disorder or a mood disorder or something, or just not, you know, not doing so well, you would go to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, something like that for mm-hmm. therapy. And then if you are doing well, but you have a big goal you want to reach, or you want to just go to high performance and really manage your mind, and then you would do coaching. But I feel like in reading this book, it has really opened my eyes, because I have to tell you, so the woman who wrote this, she has a really interesting background, not just the medical school journalism thing, but she also worked in Hollywood for a while on some pretty major TV shows. And so she's a writer by heart, I think. And so that shows in this memoir. And there are so many subplots to this book. And in hearing some of the breakthroughs that she has with her clients, and then how that also mirrors her own awakening. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've done a lot of therapy in my life, but this, what she is doing, like one client in particular that she talks about, oh man, the breakthrough that he has is just phenomenal. And so I thought, oh, I think I need to revisit, I want to be a student always. So I'm like, maybe I need to go back to school and get my master's in counseling psychology.
Well, it is neat to be able to be kind of in that, in that hybrid of both, and I think it's like in my own development, it's like, of course, if I've been like a supportive therapist and I've seen people make like very amazing change in their lives. But I think fusing all that I know with therapy, but adding more coaching components to it that's where I have seen the most transformation for my clients, is just like kind of fusing those two together, which has been really cool.
Do you kind of think, I always think about evolution, in terms of what was going on years ago and then where we're headed as human consciousness evolves. But do you kind of feel like that's where we're going? Because let me just preface this by saying, when I have been in therapy before, one of the things that always bothered me were how many boundaries the therapist had to have. And it felt like to create a secure attachment, I'm like, I want to know that you're human, but there were so many restrictions on what you could know about their lives and how they could interact with you outside of the office. And I feel like this is why I ask you the question.
Yeah.
Now I ask you the question, I'm answering it myself, but I just wonder if that's kind of where we're going. So we have, because wasn't the whole, the diagnosed, what is it? The DSM, the, mm-hmm.
The DSM?
Yeah, what does that stand for?
Diagnostic
Statistical Manual. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. But okay, but it was based on a model of illness. And now we've got like schools of positive psychology at University of Pennsylvania that talks about what makes people well. And then beyond what makes people well, how do we manage these minds that we're given? And that's kind of where coaching or Byron Katie's work comes in, that kind of a thing. So maybe it's going to this big meld where we are not just focusing on how not to be ill, but we're now going toward how do we be well? And then you've got coaching and therapy together to really just you're hitting it on all fronts.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual.
Yes. That's
of mental
it.
Disorders. Yes. Yeah. And I think, the DSM and things like that, I've had a hard time with that. Even, throughout my training as a psychologist, it's been like, and in my training, we got a lot of information on positive psychology, which does take a little bit of a different spin on all of it, right? Okay. And looking at what is right with you and what is going well and how do we play to those strengths. So that's like a different approach, which, was also infused in my training. But I think like with things like the DSM, I've always, sometimes those diagnoses can be helpful in that it, for certain types of diagnoses, it offers people some information on how to begin treating that, or, that we see symptoms across the board that all kind of match these criteria. And so it kind of like allows us to form, a treatment plan and things like that. But the downside is that it's really looking at, what's not going right for people, and that sometimes people can end up living into that diagnosis, right?
Yes.
And saying like, well, I can't do this because I am, and they're identifying with the diagnosis as though that is what they are, that is who they are. And I've always taken issue with that, right?
Yeah.
I've thought, yes, that might be part of what's happening for you, but that is not the whole of you. That is not who you are. You are not the diagnosis. So I really, even all throughout my time of seeing clients, have really stayed away from that kind of that sort of model of how to look at clients or talk about what's going on with them. Because, you know, even now in doing more coaching work, it's like, well, you could just say, oh, yes, this person has an anxiety disorder or something like that. Or we could say, I think it sounds like you've got a mismanaged mind. Let's work on some of your thoughts. There's nothing wrong with you, right?
Yeah.
Of course, if these symptoms persist, you know, more than 2 weeks, all of this feels out of your control, you do need to see a professional. And that could be what's, you know, what's happening is a legitimate disorder. But I think that sometimes there's just like a disservice done for clients when they're just like living into that too much. And I think that coaching can help to maybe look at it just a little bit differently and see how much of that is actually in your control and how much of it can we move forward. So anyway,
yeah,
a little side note about the DSM.
No. I like that because it also makes me think of in a, I guess a parallel to that, our bodies and epigenetics. So if we now know that we have, you know, genes are just like a blueprint. So it's just like you have a blueprint for your home. But until you actually get a builder on it and start doing things, the blueprint doesn't do anything. And so the same way with our genes, you can upregulate them, turn them on, or I guess the opposite would be downregulate, or they don't come on. So if we have the capacity through our own, I guess, lifestyle and nutrition and through the power of positive thought, all of those things change our genes, which there's a lot of evidence out there, research to back that up. Why would we not be empowered also to change our mental condition as well?
Right.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think that there is like, it's a spectrum, right? So it's like some people have it within their capacity to be able to shift that. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that there is something when we're talking about, you know, in coaching, kind of rewiring the brain or being able to create different neural pathways to be thinking, you know, thinking, what am I trying to say here? To be thinking differently or getting your mind to work a little bit differently. And I think that that's very much a possibility to really change your course and trajectory in that way. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to like minimize that there are some, you know, some ways that the mind works that can be genetically acquired and that there's no amount of thought work that's going to unhinge some of these types of things that are happening for people, right? When we're talking about your levels of serotonin and dopamine. And I wonder if people still in that kind of argument might say that that's even within capacity to change, right? I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting conversation though.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. Well, okay. Well, I didn't even mean to take us down that rabbit hole that far.
but there we are.
Yeah. There we are. Okay. Well, actually, and I think that segues well into one of the other things we were going to talk about. I know we're getting close to a break. Mm-hmm. Benny, jump in if you want us to take a break now versus after we kind of get started.
Oh, it's up another. To you, ladies. It doesn't matter to me. I'm queued up no matter what.
You want to, Alessandra, you want to take a break before we switch gears, or do you want to?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and chat about our topic of the day.
That sounds perfect, which was not therapy versus coaching.
Grab a couple oysters
coaching.
While we're at it, too. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Yay. So you are listening to Sunny in Seattle. I'm one of your first Friday hosts, Sunny Joy, joined by
Dr. Alessandra Duke.
And we'll see you after a few.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.
Are you ready to get unstuck from a bad marriage and embrace your best life? If you're anything like me, you may have spent years creating a life that looks pretty good on paper. There's just one problem. Your marriage is unhappy and unfulfilling, but you're too scared to trade your comfortable life for a future full of unknowns. In my new book, Unhitched, I will give you the tools you need to make the right decisions about your marriage, as well as the confidence that your future can be better and brighter than you can even imagine. I share my own very personal story, and I will guide you through a clear process that will enable you to answer the question, should I stay or should I go? It's a process that will help you tune out fears and unwanted advice, and instead tune into your own intuition and inner wisdom, as well as exit a marriage gracefully and feel secure about your future. Get ready to trade confusion and stagnation for your best life. Unhitched, unlock your courage and clarity and unstick your bad marriage. available today on Amazon.com. Sunny in Seattle, radio that positively shines.
Alternative Talk 1150 is your sports organization's safe bet when it comes to airing your team's games. Our players are all seasoned professionals when it comes to sports programming. Imagine your games being heard on local radio. Your team deserves the MVP treatment. Call 425-653-1150 today to learn how affordable and fun it is to broadcast your games on the radio. Call 425-653-1150 and make your next season something special. That's 425-653-1150.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Real people, real life, real radio. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Sunny in Seattle. I'm your host, Sunny Joy, joined by
Dr. Alessandra Duke.
Yes, thank you. Penny, how'd you pick that one?
Oh, what do you mean, how? I go with the flow.
You
go
do. Flow. That's
awesome. So good. It's all Barbara so Streisand. Good.
Oh, I'm trying to remember the last time I heard that song, but I definitely recognize it.
Your old clubbing days back in the day?
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, so last goodness. Week.
Sunny, did you have clubbing days?
I had many clubbing days. I liked myself a good rave. And of course, then it became the Sahara tent at Coachella, but that's been years.
I love it.
What about you?
I mean, it was very brief. It was like, and I don't think it was regular club. You know, like I've never really gone to clubs. You know, that's never been my
thing. Me or Alessandra?
Hello?
Did we lose you?
You dropped for a second and I thought it was me. Sorry. She went silent on my end for a minute. Sorry.
Oh, hi, can you hear me?
I can. Yes. We're all good. Okay. So what were you saying? Please.
Perfect. Oh, no, that there was not really clubbing for me. You know, like there was some really ridiculous dancing times that were a lot of fun. But no, none of that.
Are you sure there's no like, you know, this doesn't remind you of anything in particular?
This does ring a bell.
What? This might bring it back. Come on.
How can it not?
I love it. I love it. That's it.
So funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So onto our actual topic that were the couple things that you and I had planned to talk about today, yeah. Alessandra. And I think it's actually good where we were talking about therapy versus coaching, because oftentimes we want those tools in our life or that assistance when we are in low gear. But sometimes we have periods of like more temporary low gear, like we're talking about this week. I had some low gear this week. So what does low gear mean for you, Alessandra? And then we can kind of dive into this, like what we need to go into low gear.
Well, because we started this off by, you know, just thinking like, okay, there was maybe a week for you. You had some stuff going on and like, it just felt like you were feeling a little bit off. And I was thinking, yeah, okay, things have been just, there's just been some challenges going on my side of the street. And so, it has required me to shift into that low gear. And when I think about that, it is, considering what, you know, because I mean, let's face it, like life throws all kinds of hurdles our way, right? We're kind of cruising along and then all of a sudden there's this, you know, maybe a big stressful thing happens or something's happening in your relationship or something's happening with your business or, you know, whatever it is, that's maybe got you down or, just like emotion, just feeling maybe less than yourself. So for me, I have to think about, okay, when I am feeling those ways, which I do, anybody who knows me well knows that happens for me. I think people who do not know me as well think that I'm just kind of always feeling pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and pretty motivated and ready to take action. And so when I do need to go into that like lower gear, I think of it as what can be my bare minimum, right? That thing, the thing that I can do to still be, you know, taking care of the things in my life and not totally shutting down or something like that, but really like what, looking at my schedule and thinking, what is it that is possible to clear off my plate, or anything that I really wanted me to have done in that week, really looking at it and thinking, how can I bring the most ease to this particular thing, right? How can I just make it not hard if I still am wanting to get it out or still am wanting to get it done, or having that compassion with myself. Like, and I think it's different, different than just sort of unconsciously saying, I'll work on it tomorrow, I don't feel good today, but really being intentional and looking at all that you'd like to accomplish and thinking, okay, like this particular thing, it is possible for this to wait to get done in 2 days. I'm going to go ahead and give myself that grace, and I'm committing to doing that in 2 days. You know, just being a little bit more intentional rather than just kind of pushing stuff aside and watching Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's interesting. I think we had this conversation because this is what I've learned about myself, and I fought it for the longest time. And honestly, this week I found myself right back in that place where I was, there was like fear and like, oh my gosh, is this going to last forever? But what I've learned about myself is that I go through, cycles of where I'll have, you know, some really good inspired days. Mm-hmm. And I like to take action. I like it's inspired action. That's when I like to take action. But what I found, and I don't know, I think sometimes it relates to whether I have been treating my body well, you know, like getting enough sleep, eating the right things, not over drinking, all of this stuff. It could be that, or it can be, sometimes I have found that it corresponds to astrological stuff that's going on, mm-hmm. but maybe every quarter or so, I will have a period of like 3 or 4 days where, man, I am dragging. And it is, I did a Facebook Live about this. Gosh, it was last fall when I was doing my challenge for myself. Cause I mean, I had to show up every day. Yeah,
that was awesome.
Like, it ended up being like 100 days. And so even when I wasn't feeling, I mean, the last thing that I want to do when I am in my bare, I did a Facebook Live on bare minimum days. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I want to do is be on Facebook when that happens. But I noticed that I do have like 3 or 4 days once a quarter where I am just dragging. I am not inspired. Even if I treat my body right, even if I do all the things, I'm in this state of just meh. I just don't know what to do except to just be in the meh. And yeah. To know that if I am patient and kind with myself, that it will lift. Just kind of like, you know, a cork, if you submerge it underwater, it will naturally rise back to the top once it's not being forced down anymore. That's kind of how it feels, that my being or my energy will naturally rise again. But for those bare minimum days, that is literally what I do. This week is a good example. And thank goodness it was part holiday week because it corresponded mm-hmm. well with that. Or maybe it was because of that. I don't know. But yeah, I do the very bare minimum, like emails that have to be responded to, things that appointments that I do not want to, you know, if I have clients, of course, I will not cancel that. But, you know, if there's a networking thing that I was 50-50 on going to or something, if I'm not feeling it, I don't go. Because I also think, and I don't know about you, Alessandra, this is part of this topic that intrigues me. And I do have to share that before I got on the show today, fortunately this morning when I woke up, I feel like back to me. But one of the things that I listened to this morning was Tosha Silver, who was a guest August 9th on the show. And she is currently offering a 2-week trial of her Outrageous Living, Outrageous Aura, Living Outrageous Openness Forum. I've been a member off and on for years now. I love her work, but I just decided to jump in and see what is she up to these days in the forum. And I'm so glad I did. And the first thing she said for this week's call, I was listening to the recording, and it was this Hafez quote: "This place where you are, God circled on a map for you." And I'll just say that again: "This place where you are, God circled on a map for you." And it just reminded me that even on the bare minimum days, this is where we are. It is circled on the map for us by whatever you want to call it, source, your higher self, God, all of the above. And I was just reminded that it's okay to be in the bare minimum days. And now I totally digress myself. What was I? Oh, yes, this is it. Okay, so this is the difference between Tosha to me and so some other teachers that you and I both follow. I'm curious how you handle this, because when I'm in my high flying disc, if you want to quote Abraham Hicks, or tapped in, tuned in, turned on, that's another Abraham Hicks. Like, you know that feeling.
Yes.
Like when you're in total flow, I notice that when I take action in that state, things happen easily and effortlessly. Mm-hmm. So it makes me not want to do any of the important things when I'm having a bare minimum day, because I feel like the energy with which I do it does not get the results that they're not easy and effortless. And it's just not, it's like forcing square peg round hole type of a situation.
Yes.
So you've got people like Tosha that to me are all about offering and taking inspired action when the moment strikes you. Martha is very much like this, Martha Beck, because having dealt with, you know, she's asymptomatic now, but her fibromyalgia and all kinds of other physical disorders, she's been very open about suffering from anxiety and depression at various points in her life. Like, there are days when I learned bare minimum stuff from her, you know, only taking turtle steps. Like, what is the smallest possible step you can take on any given day, on your very worst day? Now take that step and divide it in half and only do that. Like, so she's created quite a career and a life based on that. But then you like contrast that to someone like Brooke Castillo, who we talk about on this show.
Yep.
And I kind of feel like it seems almost like it doesn't matter what kind of bare minimum day she's having. If it's on her calendar, she shows up and does it, man. Mm-hmm. You know, she's created quite a life and a career out of that. So I think one of the questions of my lifetime this time around is, Where do I fall on that spectrum? And what kind of a life and a career will I create based, like, how often will I allow myself to only take the inspired action and have those bare minimum days? And how often will I still show up and push, like, motivated action versus inspired action? Okay, yeah. So that was like a really roundabout way of asking you, where do you fall on that spectrum, Alexandra? And how do you handle that?
Oh, man. It's like, I just so see what you're saying, right? Because there's like a couple of different camps here. And I think that both kind of can, maybe, you know, I'm always shades of gray. I'm like a hybrid in every single thing in my life. So I'm thinking like, I think you really have to know what kind of person you are, because there are plenty of people that will say, you know, I'm doing bare minimum. I'm not inspired today. I'm going to wait until I'm inspired. And then they use that as a way to not take any action. Right. Okay. And so I think that if you know that you're someone like that and you end up kind of sabotaging your efforts because you're waiting for this perfect moment when you're inspired, that I just think you've got to know that about yourself, that maybe it's like, okay, even if I'm not inspired today, this particular thing is on my calendar. What part of that can I take care of that doesn't require that I necessarily feel inspired, right? For example, it's like if I'm trying to create a sales page for a new program that I'm offering, like, sure, I want to envision all of the beautiful things that this program is going to offer, and I want to get creative and make something beautiful. But if my brain is just not in creative, then I might, you know, ask myself, well, what's one thing, a small step you can still take that is just kind of my brain doesn't even really have to show up in a creative way, right? So it's like, I could create a registration page where people sign up to pay the money, you know? That doesn't require inspired action. That just requires, like, I could have Netflix on in the background and still be getting something done. So I think for me, I kind of have to go in between the two, because I want myself to still show up, and I know that for me, I can use fear or that feeling of inspiration as a reason not to get things done. But I do really take advantage of, I can trust and know that if I'm feeling off for a few days, the inspiration will come. I've gotten to know myself in that way. So, so I can trust it, and I'll know, like, okay, maybe in, you know, on this particular day, I'll be able to do that more inspired part. Like, I'll know that that's coming. And then I really take advantage of that. You know, I mean, I'll get a lot done in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
The other thing, you know, Kate Northrup.
She's been on the show.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Has she? That's amazing. She wrote a book recently, you know, on managing time and getting things done. And she talked a little bit about, I don't know how recently she was on the show, but.
It was the release of Do Less. It was this very thing that you're about to talk about. And I'm so glad you bring it up, because that was one of the things I forgot to mention a moment ago. So yes, Do Less.
It is inspiring to me. And you could probably explain it a little clearer, but, you know, she talks about getting things done in going along with your cycle, right? Mm-hmm. With like your menstrual cycle. And sorry for men that are listening are like, wait, what? How am I supposed to get things done with my menstrual cycle? But just bear with me, because I think that humans kind of naturally have these types of cycles where we'll kind of be in a more creative phase, we'll be in a, and then maybe entering a more like settled and kind of nesting phase, or she talks about like four different phases, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you say more about that? So I'm kind of fumbling on it.
No, you aren't at all. No, but I mean, especially for the men out there listening, I mean, it's all just cycles of nature. So you think about nature, we've got the four seasons, where part of the year the land is fallow, where things are dormant, where things are gestating underneath the ground. Then you've got times where it's, you know, full bloom. And the same thing, I mean, even within a 24-hour cycle, we've got ultradian rhythms and circadian rhythms. And it's, you know, nature follows cycles. And of course, women are pretty connected to that and the moon with our menstrual cycle, but men have their own version of these cycles. Mm-hmm. And knowing that if nature has worked pretty well so far for the last however many hundreds of thousands, millions of years, that we too can follow that. But that's not the way our culture tells us we should be. So if you want to return like Kate with her, she actually runs a beautiful membership community called Origin Collective for people who want to put this into practice, because to step outside of culture and I mean, you know, it is kind of a more toxic masculine model of push, mm-hmm, always, no matter mm-hmm. what. Mm-hmm. I know we've got a lot of men out there that are embracing more the divine masculine, which is awesome, but culture is still pretty steeped in that model of push. And so if you are like Alessandra and I and having days that feel a little bit more fallow,
right,
then sometimes you can really punish yourself for not being in that, you know, stepping outside of culture to do what feels best for your body and your soul.
Yeah, but it's like, imagine if you gave yourself 100% permission to participate in that way, and you knew, you know, this particular season or this particular week of the month is your highly creative time, right? Mm-hmm. So then you can kind of plan around it and be like, oh man, you know, that the first week of the month is when I just create. And then the second week is maybe, you know, maybe like a sitting with it more. Then if you participated in that belief, like in that nature cycle, you know, looking at monthly how this can occur, then you don't have to feel so guilty about the fallow times,
right?
Because you can trust, like, I'm creative a lot of the other times, right?
Yeah. And you know, that this brings up another interesting little tidbit from another guest, of course, Sarah Landon, who's been on this show many times. And I'm not shy about saying that the wisdom that she brings through from her guides, that she, you know, she's a spiritual channel. I go to her work these days. She's on the top of my vibrational, emotional speed dial list. And one of the things that her guides have said pretty consistently, and I have toyed with this, but it is really hard to actually put it into practice and trust. But they say that we truly, really only need to take inspired action 3% of the time. I mean, really think about that. 3% of the time to easily and effortlessly bring our dreams, the dreams of your heart and your soul, to fruition. And that is really countercultural.
I think about with somebody like, you know, Brooke Castillo, who we, you know, we both really enjoy learning from. If we had brought that to her and said, hey, look, Brooke, I can only create 3% of the time.
Right? Yeah.
Like she would be like, absolutely not.
But you know what? You know what? The way that she has, I know she took a lot of massive action to get her business where it is. And now she has a large team and everything that she does really, I think she says she works like 3 half-days a week right now. Mm-hmm. 'Cause she has a machine in place, which is awesome. So, I mean, technically with the new material that she brings forth, I wouldn't be surprised if that 3% rule really does apply to her now, yeah. The way that she talks about what her schedule is like and being able to walk her dogs and all of the things that she does during the day on any given week. Now, I know she had a lot of work to put that into place, but I wonder if this little 3% inspired action rule could actually work. I mean, maybe we'll offer that out. Hey, anybody out there, you want to apply it?
Yeah.
I've dipped my toe in and then I get too scared and I come back to the push. And so it's,
yeah.
But it's an evolution. And so I think I am much, much more apt to follow cycles of nature and my body and the 3% rule than I used to be, mm-hmm. But I'm not applying it 100% of the time now.
Totally. Well, and I think for me, it's like, I have to really challenge myself to slow down. You know, I am a massive action kind of person. So yeah. I'm just like, you know, even the business coach I work with, you know, we'll talk about doing something over the course of a quarter, you know, a year's quarter, mm-hmm. and I will have done whatever we're talking about within a week or two. Can't quite, you know, I just right away want to get going. And that's not to say that that's an amazing way to be and everybody should be like that. I think in some ways I have to remind myself a lot to just like, it is okay if I am not working on this thing 100% of the time. It is okay if I just don't feel good or things are happening in my personal life that I need to tend to, and whatever this thing that I'm trying to create doesn't need to get all of my attention all of the time. So I have to really force myself to slow down a bit. Because I think that honoring those times when your body is calling for rest, you know, we were kind of texting and you were saying like, there was a little bit of guilt with your, you know, taking a rest, right? And I thought, oh, that's like the worst thing, because when you feel guilty about resting, then you don't ever let yourself fully rest. And if that's what your body is calling out for, you just got to go with it. Because if you're in that in between, then you're not really resting, but then you're not getting anything done. And that's like river of misery kind of stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And that's interesting. You also bring that up. There's another, one of the Martha's master coach instructors who I've continued to follow, Abigail Stidley. She's a mind body coach. This is based on her own experience. She also had a lot of those, catch all type diagnoses, you know, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. She had what's the one that involves your lady parts? There's one that's really painful for women. Anyway, she had that as well. And so she's had to be very gentle but she's had a thriving coaching practice from the beginning, mm-hmm. because she does listen to her body, and she's running a little 7-day challenge right now. I don't even want to call it a challenge. It's called 7 days of slacker magic. And that's like her little term is slacker magic. And she is all about, I always wonder, because she and I know, she and Brooke obviously know each other well through Martha's Life Coach Training School, but she is all about slacking toward action, basically. And she said that very thing, that when you are resting, but your mind is telling you you shouldn't be, that is not rest. You're like back to you're back to baseline, like neutral. Yes. It's a wash. It's not a rest. It's a wash. So you are not replenished or recharged. So yeah, for anybody out there who wants to check out Abigail Stidley, Stidley, I believe. And you can maybe, it's not too late to register for her 7 days of slacker magic. And she's all about giving permission to listen to your body. And she talked about how this past Monday, she was coming off of a really hard weekend. Their babysitter, they had to fire the babysitter because she did something bad. And then her little girl was having all kinds of problems sleeping. And so hit Monday morning when she had to create an outline for this course that began, I think, midweek this week. She said, I couldn't do it. So she watched Netflix that morning. On Monday morning, she sat down and watched Netflix. And still, the outline got done. It was beautiful. We all showed up midweek, and she was energized. And yeah, she's a big one. If anybody out there needs permission to do a little slacker magic, she's a good one for that.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, there was even this book. I don't know who the author was. And actually, I didn't love the book that much, so I won't even but it was really centered around rest. And the point that I did like is that, you know, we think that when we want to get something done, we just have to go, 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 go. But there's actually like all of these research studies that show, you know, that your greatest ideas and creativity come in those moments of rest, that you can be intentional and maybe do, you know, 2 hours of some good work, but it is within those windows of time that you're, and it's not just like resting on the couch, but like, you know, going for a walk, taking a shower, like things like that, where you're actually just being a human in the world, that those are when, that is when inspiration is able to strike. But I think so often we just think, I have to stay in the doing, I have to like, I should be trying to get stuff done. And then no creativity is coming, no inspiration is coming. So it's really advisable to, like, if you are feeling that way, to rest.
I remember learning about this. Actually, Martha, God, I was listening to a call with her earlier this week. What was that? But anyway, I remember learning this in coach training that that basically we've got these really long neurons. I believe it's on the right side of your brain. And so when you give your brain a question, then it's going to be working in the background. These neurons are going to be like searching for each other, searching, searching, searching for the answer, and they'll connect. But it's in the moments, like you say, of the downtime. And the example that she gave, and now I'm going to have to, I may have to use the Googles here because I'm forgetting. It's the Eureka moment. And it's basically the discovery of mass. And the way, God, who was it? It was a math, like one of the very earliest mathematicians. Anyway, I'm not going to Google it right now just because we're coming up on time. But basically that the question was, how do we calculate mass, I believe. And the way that he discovered it was he'd been thinking on it, thinking on it, thinking on it. And it wasn't until he went to just finally gave up and go take a bath. And when he submerged his body in the water, he realized that that his body displaced the water. And that was how he came up with the equation for mass, I believe. And I probably, if someone out there is really good at math and the history of math, like I have grossly butchered that, but the point being that it is in those moments that those neurons, those long neurons, can find each other and give you that eureka moment with the solution to your problem that wouldn't come if you were just sitting there with the pencil in hand staring at the page with white knuckles, you know?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I love it.
Yeah, I can't believe I can't remember who that is. Oh, and we, of course, didn't even touch on the whole, well, can you give 2 minutes to self-sabotage? I mean, self-care becoming self-sabotage?
Oh, yes. Well, that's been something that has been a topic with my clients more recently, where I will notice they're like, okay, I'm doing this self-care, right? I wanted to just like eat some macaroni and cheese and watch Netflix, right? And so they do this, which there is nothing wrong with that, right? Let me just say that that can be really amazing. But when then the next day it's causing you to be critical of yourself, right? And, or if macaroni and cheese is detrimental to you, like you are dairy intolerant, for example, or you maybe have a goal, something that you're working, you know, you're working toward, if it's like, whatever it is, if it's, you're doing a weight loss goal, or you are, you know, you're in the middle of training for something or something like that, that sabotages your efforts, right? It's kind of like that instant gratification in the name of self-care, which then ends up sabotaging you and ends up feeling more, a little bit more like self-harm, you know? So when I have clients that are like repeatedly coping with their emotions or with their lower feeling times by, you know, eating or drinking a lot and saying it's self-care and then feeling horrible after, Yeah. Right. It's like, that is not self-care. That is self-sabotage. That is self-harm, in fact.
Yes. And I've got, I know we've got, we're like right at the end of time. A quick hack for that is ask yourself what would feel like love. And your being will know what feels like love. Sometimes it will be a small thing of French fries, but sometimes, you know, love does not feel like a huge thing of French fries plus the mac and cheese plus the cookies, you know?
Yes.
So what would feel like love?
I love that.
And we're at the end of our hour. So it's been First Friday on Sunny in Seattle. I am Sunny Joy, have been joined by
Dr. Alessandra Duke. Thanks for having me.
Yay. Thanks for joining us. And thanks, Benny, for running the board. And the two of us will see you next month, but I will see you next week.
All right. Bye.